What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 257 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LaPlatte. Joining me, as always, we have the Ray Trace Durag, Mr. Devon.
Worship the tentacle.
And we got the most degenerate squid in the sea, Jalen Roberts.
Coder may or may not live.
We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about Diablo 4, Spider-Man 2, and the state of the Japanese games industry. Kinda. Madrid, before we were rolling, you were talking about you started Dragon's Dogma?
Yeah, so I started Dragon's Dogma last night. I probably played for like an hour outside of the time of the character creator. I don't have anything good to say about it right now. except for I see the vision, maybe. But besides that, it's just kind of there. But, you know, it is a bit of an older game. You know, some PlayStation 4 shit.
PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was PlayStation 3?
Yeah, that was just I played that on the 360.
Okay. I'm like, this game definitely does seem older. All right, bet. Because didn't it just have its 10-year anniversary or something?
Some shit.
Or was it? It has some sort of anniversary. So, yeah. Okay. Old game, old. Cool. Okay. That makes more sense then.
So what got you playing it? Is it like... Because Dragon's Dogma 2... Because there was some news around Dragon's Dogma 2 like having a leaked release date?
I guess? I don't know. I wouldn't know anymore. Yes. I do know, you know, people have been talking about it and hyping it up. I know Radix says it's like one of his favorite games. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. I did watch the terrible Netflix adaptation of it.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
So bad. You know, but I watched the whole thing.
I got served the Mother's Basement. Like, it was on my homepage. Like, the roast of the Dragon's Dogma anime. And I watched like 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah. Glad I didn't. Watch this when I saw it on Netflix.
Yep.
It had enough time to get that negative word of mouth around it.
Speaking of, I did watch the Onimusha anime too. I'm very middling.
Onimusha is weird. It's one Capcom really could bring back.
Yeah, it's like...
they like re-released the original one. And they did an anime.
Capcom's making this new game called something that looks literally just like Onimusha, but it's not. What the fuck is that called?
The one that was announced at the Xbox thing?
Yeah.
Long ass title. I know what you're talking about. But they could really just could put out another Onimusha. Because it's like Capcom has no problem sticking to its IP. And Onimusha has, like, recognition.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Dino Crisis. It's like, you could just do it, and it would sell. You could just do it, but, you know.
Lost, yeah.
It's a lot of...
If Dragon's Dogma was a 1 out of 5, Onimusha is a 2 out of 5.
It'll just be interesting. So, I see the news. It was from November 17th that the PEGI rating board put Dragon's Dogma 2 as March 22nd, 2024. And that's not like the very end of the fiscal year. It's like a week before the end of the fiscal year for Capcom. So, that makes sense. Like,
I mean, Dragon's Dogma 2 looks good. Like, really, I'm just talking shit about the animated. Because those were bad. But maybe I'll keep playing it. I also started back playing Final Fantasy IV. I still need to finish Sea of Stars, so that's right there. And I kind of dabbled in some SMT 5, and I got a little further. So I could just push through there. But my Switch is actively running like shit now. Like, the Joy-Cons are drifting. They've been drifting. And these are the replacement Joy-Cons to replace the ones that had the drift. And now the system in and of itself will just kind of, like, pause and stutter sometimes. I don't know if it's the system or the game. Either way, neither one of those things should be happening.
Yeah. I mean, because you've had a Switch less time than me. I don't know. I feel like my Switch, when I'm not throwing anything too demanding at it, is fine. But apparently Pokemon's too demanding. But
for sure.
Yeah, the Switch actually, like, so the Steam Deck OLED is, like, out now. And it was a combination of Diablo 4 being free on Steam for, like, up to level 20 or until, like, I think today would have been the last day it would have been free. And it being on sale for Black Friday. So I played up to level 20 on my Steam Deck in Diablo, and I have never heard the fans go apeshit the way in my Steam Deck the way they were going for Diablo.
Hold on, I'm pulling up Twitch right, and like some of the the recommended just chatting channels for me are downright degenerate just looking at them, and I'm like, wow, this is not the Twitch I know.
Right, Twitch has really changed. I feel like YouTube Live is what Twitch used to be now. Like, people who actually stream to YouTube, it seems like the YouTube end is a lot more of the, like, Twitch as we think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, yeah, what we think of with YouTube Live.
Because it's not about watching shit up on Twitch anymore. It's about finding somebody you're willing to throw money at. Because Twitch gonna get that cut.
I mean, that's all it's ever been.
Yeah. But I feel like that's why the recommended for you has gotten even more esoteric and out there. Because they're like, who are you going to sub to? Who are you going to sub to?
That's the thing. You don't...
I'm logged in, but, like, what I watch is primarily us, which are just chatting podcast streams that are going live.
But we don't even categorize ourselves under just chatting. I remember when they introduced the podcasting and talk shows, I was like, cool, we don't have to be a just chatting stream.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're reading some other history.
The concerning part about how much Amazon knows about you.
Here at Amazon, we know what you wink to.
And the fact that Nia, like, just looked over her shoulder at that.
She works for Amazon. Look at her. Yeah.
That's an Amazon Alexa in dog
form. See? She knows where all knows. That's what she's doing all day right now.
Mm-hmm. So, Anton, you've actually finally started playing Diablo 4.
Yeah, so that was my one Black Friday gaming pickup. And so...
Wait, are you still doing the free version, or do you actually get it for your PlayStation?
I got it for PlayStation when I hit level 20 for free on Steam.
Ew!
I mean, it was on sale, and I was like, I wanted something to play, and...
Wait, you can get it on Steam?
For free up to level 20. So I did that on my Steam Deck. I downloaded it, like, it was like 80 gigs... Downloaded it, played it for free on my Steam Deck up to level 20. And then it was like, do you want to buy it? And I could either, like, have gotten it on Steam on sale and kept playing on my Steam Deck. Or I could have gotten it on PlayStation. I'm like, well, I'm going to want the trophies and I'm actually having fun playing this. So I bought it on PlayStation. I've been playing it. Like, every time I'm at my desk, because it's really bite-sized and, like, as long as I'm not doing, like, the main story, there's a bunch of side quests that are, I feel like, are pretty rewarding. And, like, I'm already level 30. So, it took me, like, a couple days, I'd say, a couple solid play sessions of Diablo on my Steam Deck to get to level 20. And since then, I've been playing smaller and smaller portions, but, like, literally right before we got on the call to record, I was playing Diablo on PlayStation.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You know, at least you're having fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's a lot of content. Like, I'm technically leveling a battle pass, but I didn't buy the battle pass. I've gotten some of the free rewards. And I've seen this stuff that's actually cool, but it's like, hit tier 40. I'm like, I'm tier 5. I'm not engaging with this whatsoever. If I unlock something that's actually like, because all the stuff that I've been unlocking so far on the free pass has been, you know, pretty good, so.
I thought she was going to say trash, but.
I mean, I have no context for it, because, like, even in the transmog, it's unlocking more transmog stuff. And the transmog stuff that's seasonal is all, like, vampire-themed. There's, like, an armor set that, like, if you hit tier 40, you get the armor set that's, like, vampiric and, like, it's cool, but that's if I hit tier 40 on this free pass, then I'll get the paid pass to actually use it. But yeah, I'm like, it's not, Blizzard is now officially owned by Microsoft, and so I'm not going to wait for it to come to Game Pass. I was just looking through the sale, and it was the one thing that was like, yeah, I'm going to want to play that. I'm going to want to have access to it. I'm going to, the amount of content that was in it at launch, and then it's already been like two seasons of additional stuff that's been added.
This is the second season.
Yeah. And so all the stuff
for have they added a character yet?
No, that'll come with the expansion, which is like next summer.
Oh, so characters come with expansions, not seasons.
That's how Diablo works. Because, like, you got Rogue and what was the other one that came with Diablo 2? Destroyer of Worlds or whatever.
No idea.
And then with Diablo 3, you got the Crusader with Reaper of Souls. And then they added in Necromancer later. So, yeah. It's consistent.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, next summer I'm going to be playing Dawn Trail, so odds are I'm going to, the same way I waited for Diablo to be on sale to get the base game. And I feel like Diablo, just without any of the live service stuff, is a series like, I enjoyed playing through and beating Diablo 3, even though I never engaged with any of the season related stuff in Diablo 3, and I know it was nowhere near as live servicey, but there were different rewards for playing different seasons of Diablo 3, and I just never engaged with any of that. So, yeah. So far, Diablo 4, it's been a good time, and you know, at some point I might fall back off of it, because that was the thing. I picked up Zelda, I beat the Gerudo quest, and I was on my way to do the Goron quest, and I was just like, yeah, Zelda's a really good game, it's just not what I'm, because I feel like a lot of it I have to play with the guide up, a lot of it I, because I don't like just like, it has so many options that it's like, part of it is just like, how much thought are you willing to put into how you solve all these things? And so a lot of times to take the guesswork out, I'll have a guide up. It's like, oh, because there are just so many options at all times with tiers that, I don't know, decision paralysis, a guide definitely helps with that as far as playing that game. So yeah, now Diablo is the main course of what I'm doing, and I'm looking for people to play with. So if anybody listening to the podcast is playing Diablo 4, it has crossplay, cross progression, all that stuff. So
I think Justin has Diablo.
So yeah, I'd definitely be down to play, because there's content that is like, I can tell that this is for multiple people to do, but because I'm not actually partying up with multiple people, it's like public events in Destiny. It's like when you play public events in Destiny, when that content is fresh or there's a quest that requires that content, you'll see a lot of people. Or it's like Fates in Final Fantasy. If we're Fate grinding, like having a party makes Fate grinding go by way quicker, but it just kind of feels empty, and you can tell it's supposed to be multiple people when you're running around by yourself doing those things. So it's really just for that content. Like, I guess I could get help with the story missions, because I die a couple times on all of the bosses, like, as far as, like, the main story dungeons. But
like, Diablo 4 is gonna actually have to do something pretty fucking spectacular to get me to care.
Yeah, but that's part of the reason I haven't really been hitting the Discord, because I know for the most part the sentiment, at least in like our community on Diablo 4, is like relatively negative, because fuck Blizzard, and like the amount of live service and games as a service things that are happening with Diablo 4, it's just like nobody has time for another one of those. If any of us have time for even one of those, really. Because that was the thing. I canceled my Fortnite crew because I'm like, I haven't played since Fortnite OG came out. I haven't played at all, and I'm seeing the stuff they're adding, like the current, like it's like a shorter battle pass. I don't care about anything on it. And so I'm just like, I'm not playing Fortnite, so I'll play Diablo. It's better than playing Overwatch, that's for sure.
Is Overwatch not dead yet? Just outright.
Nah, apparently Overwatch players are hopeful based off of the last BlizzCon. Apparently the Overwatch team is really invested into fixing and improving Overwatch and building back some goodwill. So, you know, there's a chance Overwatch might bounce back in this Microsoft era of Blizzard.
I don't care. Like,
but,
as a person who paid money to play Diablo, I'm the person who's most recently paid to engage in a Blizzard game. Even I don't feel like they have the ability to gain any goodwill or sentiment on any of their products, because, like, the people who fell off Diablo because of not liking the decisions Diablo made were playing the game way more hardcore than I ever will. You know, like, I don't intend on platinuming this game. Like, I'm getting pretty consistent trophies, but the trophy list is not super huge. It's 26 trophies total. And yeah, like, reach level 50 with a hardcore character, that's never happening. But
you're not hardcore?
Nope. Because I'm willing to die and take that 10% durability hit and just spend the gold to repair my stuff versus dying several hours into the game being level 49, because I'm not even level 49 on my default character, being like right there to get that trophy and then dying, and then all that progress is just gone.
That's pretty much what happened with me in my platinum run of the PS4 version of Diablo 3. They added so much bullshit on the screen because of the random modifiers. I ended up dying because the game lagged for 6 seconds. Because there was so much bullshit on the screen, my PlayStation was like, I'm not designed to deal with this. And I lost my hardcore character like 3 levels from hitting 70. I was pissed. Mm. But like with me, I think if I were to engage with a Blizzard game, it would be Warcraft, then Overwatch, then Diablo. Like, I would legitimately interact with Overwatch before I interact with Diablo.
Could not say that in a million years, because...
Why Overwatch?
I think because, one, if I'm... In my mind, if I'm going to play an ARPG, I'm just going to play Path of Exile. Just wholesale, I'm just going to play Path of Exile. And then also with Overwatch is... There's not really a shooter I'm playing right now. There's not really a multiplayer shooter. I have more of a want for a multiplayer shooter than I do for an action RPG. Hmm. So it's like playing Overwatch could be fun. While Diablo is just like, I feel like I'd be playing Diablo and about 20 to 30 minutes in, I'm going to be like, I really could just be playing Path of Exile. And then, you know, Warcraft is Warcraft. We know my storied history with Warcraft.
Yeah, and so, just out of curiosity for when I beat Diablo, because I totally see myself playing through the acts, you know, doing the story, doing side stuff, like, but when I beat it, Path of Exile, there's a sequel coming out, right?
Yep.
So... Would that be a good choice as... Because, like, out of... I don't play a lot of isometric ARPGs. I guess, like, the closest thing I consistently play would be, like, Hades and Transistor. Like, super... But those are, like... isometric ARPG lights, you know? They're not...
Really, the closest game to Path of Exile that you've played is Diablo. Just straight up. It's it's
but I'm saying,
the better Diablo.
I play Path of Exile? Should I wait for 2? Should I play 1?
Is it 1 on something?
Yeah, I have Path of Exile 1 on PlayStation.
Yes. I would say try Path of Exile 1, because as long as you don't get overwhelmed looking at the talent tree, you're good.
It wasn't the talent tree that overwhelmed me. It was just the amount of, like, text boxes and, like, tutorials and just, like...
I mean, yeah.
Window bloat on the screen the second I opened up that game.
Yeah, but also, like, part of the thing with Path of Exile is there is a little bit of window bloat when you first open the game, because Path of Exile 1 has been iterated on and maintained for like almost a decade at this point. It's not like Diablo, where it's like Diablo will come out, you will hear nothing for like a year and a half, and then you'll get an expansion. Like, Path of Exile will, like, when a season drops in Path of Exile, you'll get, like, a whole new mechanic that you may have to deal with, but it's fun. I enjoy it, because part of it is the fact that, like, the build crafting goes a lot deeper. Like, shit gets a little nutty. Combine that with the fact that, like, the way the skill system works, where it's, like, you're putting gems in your armor. It's really just the... If you just want to play an action RPG and you want to play it as simply as possible, stick with Diablo. But if you want to get into like the nitty gritty and really get into the minutia of this shit, go to Path of Exile. It's like Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition versus Pathfinder. If you just want to play a role playing game, play 5th Edition. But if you want to get into like some real character building, you know, you go to Pathfinder.
Well, yeah, that's not what I'm here for almost at all. Like, I've kind of just been dumping all my skill points into the abilities that I use and, like, augmenting those versus spreading out and trying to unlock as many things as possible and having, like, you know, actual solid rotations. Even though I'm a barbarian, so I'm spinning a lot.
I mean, you could have that in Path of Exile. It's just a lot more in-depth. Like, you can... There's a lot more... That's the thing about Path of Exile. It's just, like, the sheer variety of it all can feel overwhelming. But if you just want to be, like, I want it to be simple. I want to pick between, like, two or three different styles and then just play the game, then you're probably better off sticking with Diablo.
All right. So, while we're talking about completing games and planning on things, Madrid, you finally completed and platinum Spider-Man 2.
I did. I finished it on up well, earlier this week, but I platinumed it on Wednesday night. So, yeah, I think I finished it on Tuesday, platinumed it on Wednesday. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Just wholesale. I'm ready. I want more. I already see like what they set up for the next things. I'm hoping some good DLC with some of the shit they teased and set up. But yeah, I feel like I really enjoyed the game. Like the way they handled like some of the like the Kraven and the Venom storyline, how those got interwoven. The boss battles, like even doing the collectibles and the side quests, it felt fun because it was kind of leading into something, and then there was a payoff at the end of it. It was cool. The only thing that was tedious for me was kind of like collecting like a certain item towards the end, but you know, there was a cool scene after that finished, so sure, why not?
Spider bots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that payoff apparently was like content from the movie.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So where do you think Spider-Man's falling on, like, do you think it's falling on your Game of the Year list?
Absolutely. Right now, I would say Spider-Man 2 is my Game of the Year. I will put it over 16.
I don't know. I'm still debating it, because...
Yeah. Spider-Man 2 never made me feel weird.
Yeah, but also Spider-Man 2 soundtrack soundtrack.
I mean, the soundtrack slapped, but the soundtrack's not enough to save them making me feel weird for no fucking reason. They didn't have to do that. You're going to make me feel weird, then basically abandon that plot line? Yeah, go to hell. Go to hell. And those side quests are so... I don't care what anybody says. Those side quests are boring as fuck. Sure, there's a payoff at the end of the side quest, but come on. We're skipping a lot of those dialogue cutscenes. Like, we don't fucking care. Also, why is Clive that fucking slow? Why is he that fucking slow? Is it his titties weighing him down?
It's because he did chest only, no legs. Chest only, no legs.
I'm sorry, mate. I skipped leg day.
That man has never done a leg day in his life.
My pecs keep me afloat. That's why I move so slowly. Yeah. It was Spider-Man. You're teleporting across the goddamn map. Because, I mean, when you make it that far in the game, you're going to be fast traveling. You know? You done swung everywhere. You done flew everywhere. It's time to fast travel. I gotta go to this base and clean house real quick. Fast travel. But yeah. And the boss battles though, like that.
Some of the ones you had to use circle to dodge, I was just like, I feel like the telegraph on everything else was way longer, and I was way more in the habit of parrying versus dodging.
Oh, the blue techniques?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would kind of fuck me up too. But I would kind of like force my way through some of those interactions, even with the parry mechanic. I didn't start like really parrying until like kind of towards the middle of the game, closer to the end. Well, I'm like, all right, this just works.
Well, yeah, you were doing a lot more stealth. I was just hopping in and what's up, so, because most of the stuff you could parry, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, tap
on. It just kind of felt satisfying to just pull somebody up.
Yeah, and it's way better than trying to do it in broad daylight and a random crime. After you beat the game.
Right. That's what I'm like. I just went ahead and did it. I'm like, I know there's a trophy for this, so I'm just going to keep doing stealth takedowns.
So, after you beat the game, what trophies did you have left to clean up?
I had to fly from Asteria. No, I had to fly from the financial district to Asteria. I had to collect all of those bots. I had to 100% all of the districts.
What were you mainly missing from the districts? Because
the bots.
The bots.
Okay. The bots. And then doing the attractions, basically. And so with those, you had to get gold in all of them? Or was I overachieving?
Oh, the mysterious stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
You just had to do them.
Well.
You could have gotten bronze on all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, most of them I got gold on anyway. It was just like two or three that I had to redo. Yeah. Because, I mean, when I was doing them, I was probably overpowered anyway.
Yeah. Some of them, I don't know. I feel like as they became unlocked, those are one of the things I just went and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the story payoff was like, for that felt very comic booky of like a storyline.
Yeah.
Whereas like the flame, like I still think the flame quest is probably overall like the best quest line in that game.
Yeah, it's because of the payoff at the end of the flame quest.
And like what you're doing as part of it.
Whooping ass.
I guess putting you in interesting combat stuff and like. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. I hope that leads to. I'm saying that makes sense for a DLC, you know? And even at the end of the game, you can see that there's still those types of characters running around. So it's like, oh, okay, the problem has been solved, but they still exist. So that makes sense.
Right.
So, hey,
you think it's going to be DLC or you think they're going to do another expand alone? Because
I could see that too.
I kind of want to just like do a spoiler tag and just say what I think the next step's going to be. Because, well, yeah. So, if you're sensitive about Spider-Man 2 spoilers, they introduced Silk at the very end. So, I think they could do a Silk game.
They should do a Silk standalone. Yeah. I'm saying this right now. They should do it, and I would buy that instantly. I love that girl.
Yeah,
just keep Peter 30, but also just don't write Peter into the story with her though, because that shit gets weird. I just don't. Just they don't.
Kind of.
Don't worry about that, Jalen. Don't worry about that.
just keep Peter like 60 feet away from that girl, please.
Yeah, we'll keep Peter in an entirely different borough.
No, just send that man to Hollywood. Keep him like a state away from her. Just make it that run of the comics where it's like Silk is working for Black Cat, because that was sick as fuck. That was a good run.
That sounds like exactly what they should do next.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. That would be good for, like, I could see them doing a standalone and then also still doing DLC for this. Because, I mean, with the way this game was, like, I platinumed it in less than 40 hours. Like, this game could use some more content. Not in a bad way, but, like, the general consensus with everybody is, I want more.
Well, the difference, I feel like, with this one is the additional content they did with the first one, they announced, like, they sold the Digital Deluxe Edition with the Season Pass. Like, day one, there was the Season Pass that was for the DLC for that game. That's why, and they didn't do anything like that for Miles. So that's why I think they're probably, I feel like we would know by now if there was going to be Spider-Man DLC. Like, the latest we can maybe find out is Game Awards. But I feel like we're more likely to see, like, God of War, Ragnarok DLC towards the Game Awards than we are to see Spider-Man DLC. Especially since we know the next big game from Insomniac is Wolverine. They could definitely, like, tie up all these loose ends in a Silk standalone and then just do Wolverine. And then by that point, we'll be looking towards next gen and seeing, you know, we'll get Spider-Man 2 remastered. Oof. And Miles Morales remastered.
This time you get to just actually be Miles. The game comes with a radioactive spider.
You become the Prowler.
Get with that.
All right. So, Jalen, I saw that you added this to the notes, that Atlas is giving their staff a pay increase.
Because, you know, the games are selling. Money's being made. They're reinvesting it back into the people who make their games instead of laying off 20% of their staffs to buy another Lamborghini from the moon.
This is exactly what, like, this is an example of what I've been saying with the games industry in Japan versus the West. Because while the West, like, week after week, day after day, story after story, we're just getting layoffs, like, studio closures, all this stuff in the Western space, in Japan, like, Luminous Studios closing, but nobody was laid off. They just folded all those employees into Square Enix proper. Like, in Japan, like, Bandai Namco this year gave all their employees a pay increase. I think Sega overall has just done a increase as far as base pay for your average Sega employee.
Isn't Sega also trying to bust up a union?
Yeah, Sega did just fire a bunch of union employees. That did happen like a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that, you know, none of these things are like all good. You know, they're always doing some sort of fuck shit. But at least they are paying their staff. I guess it got to the point, like, you know, Atlus was putting out video games and people were buying them, and they're just like, well, fuck, I guess we have to do something with this money from these games that we're actually putting out, because we're actually releasing games and making them easily purchasable for people outside of Japan as well.
Soul Hackers 2 was kind of on that short list of, like, Black Friday games that were on sale. Where I, like, ended up going Diablo. But I was like, you know, Soul Hackers 2. I could do
it's that. It's going to be on... I bet it's going to be on PlayStation Extra eventually.
Eventually.
maybe
that's kind of like my catch-all now.
Persona 5 came off of PlayStation Plus. This is a one example of something just like
going away. That's because they knew they could sell it again.
Right. That's the thing about it.
Especially with the PlayStation 5 version proper coming out.
Yeah. Like,
I actually booted that up with the PlayStation Portal being out and me just kind of wanting to be able to play games in my bedroom and not just in here.
Did you get it?
No. Still backbone.
Backbones are on sale right now.
Yep. So I just used my backbone and I played some Persona 4. I actually got a few trophies because I finished Yukiko's dungeon in Persona 4 Golden on the PS4 version through remote play. Mm-hmm. And I booted up Persona 5, and I thought for some reason I had made a little progress when the PS5 version of Persona 5 Royal came out, but apparently I just didn't have any save data at all on that version, so. But I actually, Persona 3, I started up all three of them. Persona 4 nice. Is the one I did the most in, but
it's my favorite part of an RPG, the very beginning. Where you play, you never make it past it. You're just full of all of this hopeful
right
optimism.
And I looked up how long to beat Persona 3 Portable. I was like, that's manageable.
That's literally my one complaint about 5, is that 5 is too damn long.
I don't agree.
I don't believe that game needs to be 180 hours. I do not.
It's not 180 hours.
Dog, it's 180 fucking hours.
No, it's not.
It's 120 yeah. Platinum 5 Royal.
There we go. Right, and that's the whole third semester.
Right, yeah. 180 is like, if you're trying to Platinum base Persona 5 and do
that's that. My hour count because I've been playing New Game Plus.
Okay, yeah, okay. It's not 180.
I also spent
I still think it's too damn long.
At least 8 hours in Mementos at a time, but that's because I'm fusing personas.
Yeah.
And experimenting. I feel like Kenjaku just in the lab cooking up new personas.
Fucking Kenjaku. He was rocking that nurse outfit last week. What the
fuck? It was like, oh my god, this is reading my mind. What the
fuck? And the fact that it requires participation, he wanted to wear that.
Right. Yeah.
He went from doctor to nurse so fucking fast.
The same goddamn panel.
Kenjaku is the most devious.
I'm probably a couple coon. Weeks behind.
Fucking truck coon, the special grade curse killer.
Oh my god. Like, what the?
Oh, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Nobody does. It's fine.
I mean, I know what's going on, but what the fuck is going on?
This shit's ending. It's fine. This is what happens.
We're just doing the last couple of major fights before, it all goes down. Like,
it's a sprint now at the end of a marathon.
Right, that last sprint.
All right. Well, has anybody played anything else? Jalen, you been playing anything this week of note?
Nah, just mostly Final Fantasy, working on Lies of P so I could start that Like a Dragon Gaiden Man Without a Name.
Mm.
That is what I want to finish Lies of P first. It's just like, you have a whole, you didn't have to do any Black Friday pickups because you just have a slate of games you have access to.
Yeah.
I am mad Sony charged me the full price for extra. But I haven't been able to find any of the
I let it lapse. I'm just like, I'm gonna wait and I might buy
they auto charged me. I would have let the shit lapse.
Oh no. I went in because I was going in and I was like, let me cancel Fortnite Crew. And I was like, while I'm in here, let me try and see.
Because I think they were saying I had to regular. Because I thought they said I had to sign up for it to auto-renew. And I was like, all right, cool, so I don't have to worry about it.
That shit is on auto-renew by default. I know that much. And I definitely wasn't about to pay like $150 for a year of premium. Absolutely not.
That $135 caught me all the way off guard. I was like, bro, fuck. I mean, I still say it's worth it at that price because at minimum, if you play one new game each month, you pretty much got your money back and then some. And a lot of the games I am playing are from Extra. It's fine. I just can't afford any new games. So there's that. Like, Spider-Man was my new game for the rest of the year. According to them. So, here we are.
Well, I mean, even... there's not much more coming out. There are some things that are like Bomb Rush, Cyberpunk, Hi-Fi Rush. There are some of those kind of like... this year, like... less notable games that I've missed. But... mm-hmm. I think Diablo was like the last big game of this year that I was interested in that I didn't have.
Yeah. And a lot of those smaller games that I am interested in, they end up on the service after a few months. And that just gives me time to kind of go through my backlogs.
Yeah. The good thing is, outside of Zelda, this, and Armored Core, all the big games that I picked up this year, I beat. So... beat 16, beat Spider-Man, and actually
beat... didn't beat Wolong, yeah.
I didn't pick up
Wolong. Keep forgetting that was even this year.
That was this year?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta go back and try and finish Wolong.
Yeah.
Suffering.
Maybe I should. I should just put out a call and go back and finish up Wolong just because I bought it full price.
I wish Armored Core had co-op, because...
that's something that I do still want to try. Then I might try, like, mid-December, yeah, when I'm not playing Baldur's Gate, because fuck, Baldur's Gate is ruining my life. In the best way possible, but it's ruining my life.
I'm going to wait for that next Baldur's Gate sale.
Yeah, it'll probably be Game Awards. I could see it, like, you know, they have...
Nah, there's a physical edition coming out. It's still releasing on stuff, like...
yeah,
but... I don't see a sale, but, like...
yeah, we're probably going to get that day and date for Xbox.
Like, I could see Spider-Man going on sale for the Game Awards sale.
That, yeah, I can see.
But, yeah, so that's why I could totally see the digital-only version of Baldur's Gate... because it's nominated for so much, especially if it wins Game of the Year. Like, whoever wins Game of the Year is always on. Like, Elden Ring was on sale last year during
the... what about Game Zelda?
Zelda no, might Nintendo, be a cool 68.
69.99.
Take
a... but didn't you come out? Didn't he drop it $60?
Nope. Not Zelda. That was the one.
I'm talking Breath of the Wild. they stealthily boosted the price.
Oh, like, yeah, wait, because they added the expansion pass.
Y'all increased the price of an old game? Were the sequels already out? You go buy it, ain't you?
I need them to put Wind Waker on Switch. Like... the fact that that is one of the few... it's like A Link Between Worlds, or... yeah, I think it's A
Link... yeah, it's A Link Between Worlds. That does need to come to Switch. That I do love that game. That was a lot of fun.
A Link Between Worlds and Wind Waker are the two that we need the most. Because with Nintendo Switch Online, we have a bunch...
is Twilight Princess available?
No.
Then definitely number one on that list is Twilight Princess, just wholesale.
I feel like Wind Waker HD deserves it. Like,
nah, I love Wind Waker, but nah, Twilight Princess is...
yeah.
Like, before Breath of the Wild came out, like, Twilight Princess was probably the best Zelda game. whole set.
I don't know why. I know it's Twilight Princess, but it always just makes me think there's two princesses.
Because there is.
Oh.
You have Princess Zelda and the Twilight Princess. There's two of them. So you have
Princess Zelda and Princess Link?
No, Link's a wolf boy in this game. Link's a furry.
Twink?
Yeah, that's a wolf twink in that game.
Twink's the furry in this game, I see.
Yeah, yeah. Gets ridden on by a little imp the entire game.
You have wolf-based combat?
Yep, yep. And smell powers. Yeah. Yeah, and you dig. And you dig.
Like Link's over here.
Yeah, Link's a good boy in that game.
Link, high five.
It's really weird that the Skyward Sword is the one that we got the actual Switch redo of.
Because they have motion.
Yeah, they want to remind you that the Joy-Cons work as motion controls.
Yeah.
I don't think that makes that game... Doesn't Twilight Princess have motion controls?
Technically, but most people just played the GameCube version.
That's just keeping it back. They couldn't decide which hand to have Link hold his sword in.
Yeah.
I really think what ended up happening with
the Wii U version,
Twilight Princess, was that it was one of those games that came out at like the very end / beginning, like right in between the life cycles of those two consoles, where they didn't fully abandon the GameCube yet, but they haven't fully transitioned to the Wii.
Yeah, it's the same thing as like Breath of the Wild. It was like they hadn't... Well, they kind of had fully abandoned the Wii U.
You're right.
The Wii U was abandoned at birth. But,
like, ugh, why did we do this? I don't know.
Breath of the Wild is one of those Wii U games. So... And then I think... We might not get one for the Switch to the Switch 2. I think they're just going to put, like, the extra horsepower behind Tears of the Kingdom and be like, here, look, it runs better now.
I hope so.
And we won't get another... But it'd also be interesting to see if they did, like, a 2D Zelda. Because, like, we got two 3D Zeldas, but we haven't gotten... Well, we got the... Link's Awakening, like, remake. It'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, another 2D Zelda before the... Or, like, at the beginning of the next generation.
Minish Cap?
Ooh, Minish Cap would be fun.
Well, no, it'd be the Oracle games. If they do that to another Zelda game, like, if they Link's Awakening... any of the other games, it's definitely going to be the Oracle games.
Are you sure? Because those were made by Capcom.
Okay, and Super Mario RPG just got a remake, and that was made by Square, and Nintendo and Square were legitimately beefing for a long
time. Yeah, but also, like, but it's like, the difference is...
Square made Super Mario RPG?
But I also think the difference between, like, Mario RPG... and the Oracle games is a lot more people like the Mario RPG than actually care about the Oracle games.
Yeah, but I feel like...
It'll be a popularity thing.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like...
The now, Oracle if your popularity game, can outweigh the function, like... Super Mario RPG is so popular, so alright, we're gonna figure this one out.
Right, the entirety of Smash Ultimate, one of the leading characters that's been added to the character polls was Genos. Like, it's like the popularity of the Super Mario RPG. Like, people who don't like RPGs like the Mario RPG.
don't know. For me, I have zero motivation to get that.
It's really good. I gotta say, the Mario RPG is really good.
Yeah, but I already have Link's Awakening, and if I want to play the Switch, like, I don't want to play stuff on Switch in general. Like, I made an exception for Pokemon. I was trying to make an exception for Zelda. I'm just not sticking with
it. Yeah. Yeah, so I might have to, like, finish, like, force finish SMT.
And oh, God.
And be done with my Switch.
I will say, the only reason I haven't finished SMT 5 is not actually because of the Switch. It's not actually because of the Switch. It's really just the fact that the level hike that they do once you get into the third area is just really dumb, and it started pissing me off. Like, that's really the only reason why I haven't finished SMT is because I'm like,
how are you on now?
I'm in the next to final area. Like, I'm fighting Zeus, Odin, and whatever the fuck a snake face is. And I'm doing that so I can open up the way to the throne, so I can do the final dungeon, and then do the last 2-3 boss fights.
You know, with, like, level? Like, number
levels? The current bosses that I'm fighting are all 70. Are all in, like, the low to mid-70s.
Oh, okay. Because I'm, like, level 55, 56 type shit.
Yeah, that's the jump I'm talking about. Because, like, the boss you get right before, like, right after you defeat the Demon King, Astronaut, or whatever the fuck his name is, he's, like, in the mid-50s.
Yeah, I think that's who I gotta fight.
Yeah, that boss is in, like, the high 50s. So by the time you finish him, you'll be in, like, the low 60s. And then the next three bosses they give you are in the 70s. And that's, you know, it's kind of annoying. Like, I got a strategy for Odin, but then they were like, but what if we gave his super move Pierce? So you actually need those levels, because fuck you. I'm like, I don't actually feel like grinding another 5-6 levels. You know, like, that's why I haven't finished SMT5. Just because its level pacing is just not. It's kind of annoying once you get this far.
You gotta increase your strength exponentially.
Right.
Really, it just comes from, like, super fusing your demons.
Yeah, but this is where we get into the grinding issue, is the grinding isn't for my demons, because leveling up demons is easy. You get enough grimoires that it's like, it's real easy to keep your demons at pace. The true problem is leveling up the protagonist, because that's your fusion cap.
Right. I mean, I get that. That's what I'm saying. You got to super fuse him.
Yeah.
Because if you're 55, fuse it at 55, get the new moon, well, the full moon boost, you can get him up to, like, 57, 58.
Wait, yeah.
Like, fusing them on a full moon, you can get some extra levels out of it. More than you would, as long as the, like, your starting level, like the fusion monster's ending level is the same as yours, it can still get a few levels after it's fused and created.
Yeah, but it's also like, I'm at the point where it's like, I need a demon that has both Luster Candy and Debilitate, or I need something that has Debilitate. Like, I really need something with Debilitate.
I feel that.
And most of the demons that come with Debilitate are, like, in the 70s. So it's like, I need to hit level 70 so I can get access to, like, Debilitate and Luster Candy.
Luster Candy. Sounds good as hell.
It raises all your stats. It's a full wide stat boost.
Oh, yeah.
And it costs less mana than something like Golden Apple or whatever that move What's-Her-Face gets when she comes back.
Yeah, those are necessary. You need
no, those are good moves. Like, you know, it's a full health heal and it raises all your stats by one tick. Like, it's really good. But it's very expensive mana-wise, and it's like, you could just use Luster Candy, do the same thing, and then you could drop a Debilitate on him.
All right. Well, does anybody have one more thing for this week? Well, yeah, no. We've been going about an hour. We hope Chris gets better soon. And remember, you can follow us all collectively around the internet, cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram, Anton6X. Madrid, where can people find you?
You can follow me at x_Spain on Instagram.
Jalen?
Gwid Bishop, wherever.
Alright, this has been a No It's Good production. The video version is edited by Lana Twisted Mind. The audio version is edited by Akuma Santi. Until next time, keep it cheesy.